November the 5th is getting closer and closer. We need to be preparing. How do you prepare? Get your sample ballot. Get your sample ballot. Your precinct committeeman will usually distribute that, and do some homework. You can use iVoterGuide.com for federal and statewide offices. On judges and amendments, it's harder. I would suggest you look in your state for a family institute or a family policy council. Usually they have voter guides and they'll help you with more local races. But also, you can do a lot. All you have to do is search the judge's name, the candidate's name, and you can find out who's supporting them, who's giving them money. What is their past like? What did they do for work? Just look for clues in the bios, even on their website, or even, you know, Wikipedia gets some things right occasionally. You can find out a lot about people by just searching their name. So do your homework. Please don't go into the voting booth and leave half the boxes blank. Just don't do that. Everything is important. Amendments change your constitution. As an Amendment 4 in Florida on abortion, abortion will be legal for all 9 months. It will be in the constitution, almost impossible to change. And you probably have amendments like that in your ballot too. So don't be lazy. You can find this stuff. If you don't know how to look on the internet, then ask your kids, ask your neighbors, but be diligent. Go in there with that sample ballot, armed and ready to vote, and check every single box intelligently and not just guessing. All right, November 5th is coming up, and I'll see you at the poll.
She might be dying right now.
35-year-old Air Force veteran and QAnon supporter Ashley Babbitt was shot by a Capitol Police officer.
In her last moments of life, Babbitt was seen trying to force her way through a window that would give her closer access to the House chambers in the United States Capitol. In the wake of the riots, some on social media call her a hero and a martyr.
You deserve answers and you deserve justice. God bless Ashley's incredible memory. And God bless America.
Well, I personally will never forget that day because I was watching glued to the television on the January the 6th of 2021. I'll never forget that moment when Ashley Babbitt was shot. I have seen so many videos of it since that time. So many different things have come out about it. You will be shocked. I was reading this morning the Wikipedia version of this. There's just no truth to it. There's no truth to what actually happened to Ashley Babbitt. She was the only person shot in the Capitol. That was the only shot fired, and it was shot by a Capitol policeman who is now being sued for wrongful death for Ashley Babbitt. It's an incredible story. We're going to tell a little bit more of it today for a reason, because when I was in Texas, I had the privilege of meeting her mother, Mickey Woodhoft. You've probably seen Mickey in various, I don't know, it depends on the news that you watch. I don't think mainstream media cover. She's got a great story herself there. She's holding a vigil and has been every single night for the last 3 years in front of the D.C. jail, where there are so many J6ers still incarcerated, held, you know, in pretrial detention with no bail. So Mickey and her friend, Mrs. Reffitt, Guy Reffitt, was one of the first people who were convicted. He was convicted because one of his children turned against him, recorded him in their own home. And the judge used the things he said in the privacy of his home with his family to convict him. And I don't even know, it doesn't have to be anything bad. You just have to believe that Joe Biden rightfully won the 2020 election. That's what this is all about. And they are, of course, making these J6ers have been recant their belief that there was a problem with that election. It's and it's just an amazing time that we live in. Well, Ashley was an interesting girl. She was 35 years old when she was shot by Michael Byrd. And she was, the videos are interesting. We'll get into this discussion with her mother about what she was doing. I saw a movie at this film festival, the 1A Film Fest, which, by the way, I still say to you all, go to 1A Film Fest and you can see this. It's not just about J6, but there is a movie there that will show you all about what happened with Ashley with It's not telling you, you're actually seeing it. You're hearing her words, things you've never heard her say before. It's amazing as it unpacks what actually happened in that moment. Lots of other films. And for $25, there's like 12 films we saw. They were incredible. So I just say to you, go to 1afilmfest.com, pay the $25, and you can watch the films whenever you want to. You can have friends come over. And certainly in this election time, it would be a good thing to do this because people are reading things like Wikipedia. They're listening to it's just baked in the cake. The J6 committee lied about everything. That was a show. That was a made-for-TV drama. Everything scripted. They did not play any evidence that would refute their claims. And there was plenty of it. Video evidence. So it's the most amazing gaslighting situation I've ever seen in my life in this country, where people still believe that they understand what happened on that day and they don't. And Ashley, of course, lost her life. She wasn't the only one. Roseanne Boyland, and there were a couple of guys who died of heart attacks. There were flash bombs that went off at them. It's a horrible situation. No policeman died that day. That's a lie. Well, I do get worked up. I do. But we're going to tell the story of Ashley today with her mother, Mickey Woodhoff, but a lot more about other things like Mickey's life and what's happening with her. Listen, this is a fascinating discussion. It really is, and I think that you're going to benefit from it. This is Sandy Rios, by the way, on Sandy Rios 24/7. And your calls are welcome. You can call us at 662-821-2040. We love listening to them. We love your feedback, and we will be playing some of these on the air. You can write us at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. You can, access the podcast or listen. We post links that we have in the show on social media to help you kind of integrate what we're talking about and then how you can find more about it. You can go to our home base, afr.net, to listen to the podcast, or you can go to Apple or Spotify or Amazon or whatever your favorite choice of podcasting is. You can also listen on sandyrios.com. That's very easy to do. But before we begin, let me just say, we talk about Ashley. Ashley was 35, and her life was precious because God has declared that life is precious. Is snuffed out in a moment, and most of us saw it on television. It was just horrendous. But there's just something in people of conscience, and we are sort of dulling our consciousness now. We've sort of buried the notion that it's not right to kill, and that's why people feel free to take the lives of other people and sort of enjoy it. We've dulled our senses by movies with violence where killing is just, it looks so real, and we sit through it, and sometimes they even make it funny when it's happening. We've been hardened and dulled to how God really feels about taking life. Well, God did not feel good about Ashley Babbitt losing her life, and he certainly does not want us to take innocent life, and that's life in the womb, babies' lives. And that's what we're fighting, and in this election, we're fighting it. We're fighting to have women understand that it's going to be very harmful to them if they choose to take their baby's life. In the case of the girl in Georgia, and there was another one who actually died as a result of taking the French abortion pill, which is the easy thing. Just take a pill. And 60-70% of abortions are now through that pill. It's a lie. It's another gaslighting thing to tell women that this is no big deal. It's a big deal. So one way we're trying to stop it, just for the sake of the women and certainly for the sake of the babies, is through ultrasound. And Preborn provides those. For $28, you can provide one ultrasound. That's manageable for most of you, and some of you can do more than that. So I encourage you to continue to support Preborn. And if you haven't before, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous contribution. All right, well, this is a really, really gripping conversation. And given that the election is coming upon us and that January 6th is a central part of how the government, our government that is not our friend anymore, it has tried to cast half of America in this dreadful mold, creating division between us because, you know, we're that people. We had a good friend recently say to us, we were getting together for fun, a friend from a long time ago who's a different politically, talking about the Trump supporters, the America First people. He didn't trust them. What if they lived across the street? They might shoot him. And I said to him, are you kidding? You know we're that. You think we're going to shoot you or just in the neighborhood shoot people? But that's how they've managed to disparage and limit, just almost dehumanize people who support President Trump or support the Constitution and America's values. It's shocking, but it's true. And it all started, really, I think, successfully with J6. Well, this is a conversation, again, with Ashley Babbitt's mother, the one that was killed on January the 6th, the only person that was, with her mother, Mickey Wootoft, on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. All right, Sandy Rios live from Texan Theater in Greenville, Texas at the 1A Film Fest. And this has been such a joy. We're rounding the bin here. They're showing the last movies this morning. And they've just been home runs. They've just been incredible. In fact, and sitting next to me is Mickey Wootoft.
Wootoft.
You say Wootoft?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to do the English, the American version then. So that's going to throw me off, Mickey.
That's okay. You can say it however you want.
I used to live in Berlin, so it's not that I'm so good with German, but I did know. Okay, so the thing about Mickey is that she's the mother of Ashley Babbitt. Ashley was the young woman who was shot to death by a Capitol police officer in the Capitol building. Now, you may know that story or you may not, because the press doesn't acknowledge her. The J6 committee did not even mention her name. And we will talk about that, but before we do that, Mickey, I don't know much about you. I think Ashley looks like you. Did you think she looked like you?
I noticed that more and more since she's been gone. But, you know, when Ashley was alive, I just saw her as Ashley. But now that she's gone, I do see resemblance.
Yeah. I see my mother in my face. The older I get, I see my mother, you know. But and that's a good thing. I love my mom. But she was your only child.
She was my only daughter. I have four sons.
You have four sons? I don't even know where to start, Mickey, because I don't want to put you through the paces here. I will ask you this. We watched last night one of the movies was the timeline of J6, and I fancied that I knew a lot about it because I've been covering it since it happened. But I did not know. I did not know, and nor had I seen all of that footage surrounding Ashley's death. You sat through that. You sat through that.
I don't watch that part. You know, I oftentimes sit with the filmmakers that make the films, and you know, I'm made aware of when not to look and when to look. But
good.
I may be the only person that in this room that hasn't seen it, but I just it's something I can't watch.
No. Okay. Good. I wondered how you'd. I just wondered because I knew you were sitting not far from me, and I don't know how you could do that. But I understand now. You know, this is totally different and not the same. But I had a disabled, severely disabled daughter that was my only daughter. And she died when she was 44, I think it was. Yeah, and I can't, like when I watch movies about disabled children or parents, I can't watch a movie like that without just being, I can't stand it.
Right,
it hurts me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have to be very careful with I have to be very careful with, you know, what I choose to watch. And you know, when I come to things like this, I do realize what situation I'm putting myself in. But I also realize that, you know, you can talk about Ashley Babbitt and people will feel the loss of her and understand what happened. But when when it's presented to people in a way that they watch what happened to her, that's something that people are unable to forget. So that I hope that these films that are made do good things for good people. You know, there were a lot of films this weekend, you know, at the 1A Film Festival. Some of them were J6 related and some of them weren't.
Right.
They all had the theme tied into, you know, the government and what the government's capable of doing. And you talked, you know, in the beginning you opened up with, you may or may not have heard about Ashley Widthoff because of the way the mainstream media guides us and squashes our thoughts and only really presents to us what certain people in power, the left arm of the Democrats want us to hear for the most part. You know, it's events like this and people that are brave enough to make movies like this, because people do this at great personal risk. You know, Professor Clemens, who literally lost everything to pursue this, and you know, he's a man of integrity. And, you know, Dave Summerall, who has just been a beacon of light in this to so many Jan Sixers and people like him. There are so many amazing patriots in this room.
Tim Rivers.
Yes, absolutely. Tim Rivers, Marie Goodwin, yeah. People that have sacrificed time, their fortunes, their reputations, because, you know, there are so many polarized feelings about January 6th. And for a while, it was a very unpopular opinion. And even people that wanted to support wouldn't, because it was such... just such
they were worried about it. They didn't want to be seen or heard that they would be even saying something positive. I can't believe how weak people are on that. That just really stuns me, how frightened people are of having independent views.
It is stunning, but if you look at the way the people of Jan 6 have been treated, where they continue to arrest people, you know, right. It's still almost 4 years later and they're still arresting people. So you can almost understand the lack of desire to pin a target on your back and have the United States government come after you. Because we do sit, I have relocated to D.C. where we hold a vigil outside the D.C. jail for over 2 years. My housemate is Nicole Ruffett, and her family has been horribly damaged by the events of January 6th as well. And, you know, you just see the polarizing effects on people. And it's just the way the Jan 6ers have been treated and talked about. When I think that, you know, if you think about, you know, over half this country believes this election was stolen, you know, and American citizens went there to make their voices heard and say, you know, this is an election, you stole it from us, and we want.
And don't count the electoral votes until we've had a chance to investigate.
Right.
That was the driving force.
Right.
Hold off here, because we've got a lot of disputes.
Yeah.
A lot of states. And the states want you to stop. The states don't want you to go forward yet. You've heard this plea not to do it yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so if you watch the films that were presented at the 1A Film Festival, you can really come away with some realities of the fact that our government behaved arrestably that day. You know, American citizens, we're not obligated to sit back and watch assaults and murders, even if the perpetrators are in uniform. You know, reprehensible behavior is reprehensible behavior, no matter how you're dressed. And the way that my daughter was murdered without warning, the way that Roseanne Boylan was beaten to death, the way that, you know, the commands were given to launch munitions on peaceful American people, most of them praying at the time. And, you know, it's my opinion that if we're going to hold the American citizens so accountable as to sentence them to decades in jail for tossing a water bottle or receiving pepper spray to the face and putting their hands up to defend themselves. And I say that we need a proper investigation into the day, and we need to hold our government and our law enforcement officials as accountable as we hold the American people.
And I don't want to get off on this tangent, but I want to say that also, in order to get a plea deal, at least early on, you had to recant. You had to agree that the election was not stolen, that Joe Biden was the rightfully elected president. You had to say those things in order to get a lesser sentence. And some of these guys would not do that, and the hammer came down on them. And when have we ever in our courts? My husband was a prosecutor, and he was an FBI agent, by the way. And the old good FBI.
Right.
You didn't ever do that to people. Even murderers didn't have to confess, or, you know, they didn't have to confess. They just, they got charged with their crime. Maybe the sentence was lessened if they were repentant, but they were not forced to say, I did it. They weren't forced.
Right, and they also weren't threatened with superseding charges.
Yeah.
You know, if you chose not to plead guilty to what you were accused of doing, then it went to trial, but you weren't threatened with, okay, well, if you don't do things our way, we're going to supersede this and add this and supersede that and add this. It goes on to this day. You know, when you walk into these federal courtrooms where you hear, you know, the United States of America versus, you know, the poor man in the chair or woman in the chair. It's a 98 point something conviction rate in D.C. We're seeing recycled juries. We're seeing judges that come in there with preconceived notions, and they very much judge these men and women by the date on the calendar and not the actions that they did that day. So I would like to just, you know, have people judged on their behavior that day, as well as our government and, you know, the police officers that were there that day. But there's never been a real investigation into what happened, because, you know, they know that a real investigation would show the culpability of the United States government, of the police department, and that's why they don't want it.
And that's why they wouldn't release the videos forever, and we still don't have all of them.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, so you said something yesterday that I want to talk to you about, because I think this is really important. Maybe you say this everywhere, I don't know. But you, before Ashley, this happened to Ashley, and by the way, Ashley was a veteran, Army?
Air Force.
Air Force. She was in Iraq three...
She was deployed to the Middle East four times.
Four times. She's an unusual girl, a tough girl. And on video, which I had... She's a videotape, just happens to be videotape, walking to the Capitol, and she's smiling, and this is a beautiful day, and you're going to set things straight, and yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay.
But she's just effervescent.
She was. And you know, that as hard as that is to watch as well, because I know that was just, you know, an hour before she was killed, it comforts me a bit to know that Ashley was doing her thing. She was very happy that day until she wasn't. You know, when I see her in the room, I've not seen my daughter be shot, but I have seen her asking the police to call for backup. And I see my daughter's face go from anger to fear, you know. And I'd like to ask her some things about that day, but unfortunately I can't, because Michael Byrd stepped from around the corner and shot my daughter without warning. You know, that could have been handled so many different ways. I miss my daughter so much.
Of course you do, Nikki. And I can see why now, getting a glimpse into her her life a little bit, just in these snatches. Mm-hmm. I can see what she would be a force. She would be the kind of daughter that would enrich her life. I bet she drove you crazy at some other times in her life, because she's very strong-willed, it seems.
Very strong-willed.
Very purposeful, driven, and you can be very proud of her, though. Oh, my goodness. You can be very proud of her. She lived a purposeful, meaningful life. Yeah. But I want to, let me say that in the video that we watched yesterday, I've seen a lot of different shots and angles of Ashley's being shot. But I'd never seen all that I saw, and I just let me explain that these two men came up to this window, this door with windows in it, that separated this hallway from the Capitol, from the House of Representative chamber. And they started, like Antifa always did this. They had their little tools, and they always broke windows. You could see them in all those riots. They just have a pattern of doing that. They had this little device they use. I don't know if it was Antifa, but I'm just telling you, that's what it reminded me of. Ashley is telling them to stop, but she's trying to get, the police are standing there. I think there's four standing in front of the door. They kind of get out of the way, actually. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to get them to go over and stop them. And you hear it, actually.
You do.
Videos. I'd never seen, Mickey, had you seen that before?
I had heard the audio of Ashley telling them to stop.
She's telling them to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't. And then she's just getting, and then you mentioned that her face changes. She's getting very concerned. You can mm-hmm. tell. And then she then gets into the fray and tries to stop them. She's climbing up the window. I don't know if any of us know exactly what she was trying to do, but she was frantically trying to stop that. Mm-hmm. And the Capitol Police officer from the other side of those windows, just, you see the gun, and he just kills her in cold blood. She's yeah. not armed. Yeah. And so that's that story. But I, Mickey...
He violates every rule of the use of force continuum, every rule of it. And you know, Ashley did try to stop Zach from breaking the window, and she did give him a left hook. Ashley was southpaw, and
She hit him.
She literally went down swinging.
Do we know anything about him?
Well, you know, like you said, it looked like Antifa breaking the window, and that, you know, that's my suspicion. Now he wants to claim Ashley as his guardian angel because he's a scumbag that wants a benefit in any way that he can.
Well, let's go back to your life before this, Mickey, because you're from California.
Yes.
And I'll let you describe it. Before this happened to Ashley, were you, you know, involved in politics? Did she get that passion about what's happening in the world and her fight from you?
She did not get her political activism from me. I would just lived an ignorant, blissful life, and I was very, you know, I would say apolitical. I mean, I did my civic duty. I tried to be a good neighbor. I voted, and you know, but no, I was in no way involved in politics, or even interested in being involved in politics. And then sometimes, you know what you know, and you can't unlearn it. And I have been asked before if I had something to atone for. And I would say, you know, I don't feel like I have anything to atone for when it comes to Ashley, but what I wish is that I would have paid more attention to her concerns as a mom. I wish that I wouldn't have, like, had the attitude of so many American people. And it's hard to be mad at American citizens for just wanting to live their life and put their hands in the fate of other people. Because life in California was, my life was good. It was a blessed existence until it wasn't. But then once you realize, you know, once the United States government murders your child and then tells a bunch of lies about it, you believe them capable of anything. And so it really did open my eyes. And, you know, I don't know what else to say about that. I wish I was still living a blissful existence and
my husband and I live in Florida, and we see that. There's something about, there's the recreational and retirees who are enjoying their lives, mm-hmm. and don't really want to be bothered. Now, this is not all of them, but don't want to be bothered by what's going in the news. I've done my time in the barrel, and I don't want to worry about anything anymore. I just want to have fun. And I guess as a believer in Christ, of course, part of me can't. I just can't. I know that until we take our last breath, there's a calling, and we have to follow that calling. We have to do what's right and protect the innocent and do whatever comes in our, if it's a neighbor who needs help or whatever. We've got to be, we can't be only thinking about our own well-being. That's just not healthy. I suppose it's too early to say this, Mickey, I think, because you're too close to this. It's still fresh, and it'll always hurt you. But over time, you know, you get your, God has wired us so that we do adjust to losses and tragic things that happen in our lives. And you may look back on this and realize what a turning point it was for you.
Oh, I already realized what a turning point it was. You know, I hope someday to just be able to remember the happy times without it being so bittersweet.
Yeah.
I look forward to that.
You will. You will. And I, you know, okay, so I'm going to counsel you. We're going to do the, I'm just telling you, grief has to be felt. You can't escape it. And you have a choice between getting angry, and in your case, there had to be some righteous anger because of the way what's happened. But angry at God is a different thing, and I'm not even asking you. I'm just saying, in general, I've seen this in grief. People can blame God and get really hard. But if you can just give that up to him, your anger, and also just allow your grief to break your heart. You can't really go around it anywhere. And if you try to avoid it, you do get hard. You just have to cry and just mourn and weep until there's no more tears and there's no more mourning and no more weeping. And that day does come. But if you can do that and kind of figure out with God as much as you can, because certainly I had to do that too. Why? You know, and how could you allow this? All of that. You'll come at a place of peace, and it will. You will heal. You will heal. Time will heal you, but you have to, don't fight God on it. After you've fought with him at first and argued with him, you know, understand that he is God, and understand that he is trustworthy. He actually gave his own son voluntarily, allowed his son to be murdered. I mean, I wouldn't choose that for my daughter, what she went through, and you would not choose this for Ashley.
No.
Yeah, but he did. He chose it for his son, for us. And when you realize that, then you can bear it a little more, because you know that he understands your pain.
Right, and you are right. At first, you're angry at God, angry with yourself, angry with everybody. And I would say that, you know, I'm not ready to let go of my anger, because we still have a fight with the United States government to take on. And, you know, thank God that Judicial Watch has taken up the cause and really fighting hard for Ashley and Aaron. And I'm proud to have them on our team. But you just need a certain amount of anger to propel yourself forward at this point. So I would say my anger is not at God, but it is directed in a lot of ways at a lot of people. And I would someday like to see, you know, Michael Byrd behind bars. I would like to see Nancy Pelosi be held accountable, not just for the crime she allowed to happen to my daughter, but for what she's allowed to happen to this country. And the way she has done nothing but, you know, enrich her coffers while she's in office, and this country has just gone to hell. And I would like to see, you know, her be held accountable for that someday, as well as so many other people in our government that turned a blind eye to everything, including some of the Republicans that absolutely know what happened on January 6th and have taken no action to hold anybody in the government accountable.
I'm totally with you on that, Mickey, totally with you. And the Bible says to be angry and sin not. So it's fine to be angry. Righteous and God, Jesus got angry. We get angry at unrighteousness. It's the anger at God that makes us bitter. That's the thing and I don't think you have that, and I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. So, all right, so your whole life's been turned upside down. You are in D.C. and have been at a vigil every night, as you said earlier, in front of the J6 prison, even when it's raining, even when it's snowing?
Yes, every night. You know, my housemate, like I said, Nicole Ruffett is my housemate. Her husband is Guy Ruffett. He was the first one to go to jury trial, and he's still in jail, despite the fact that he should have time served since the 1512 has been overturned. But we do, and both of us are here enjoying the 1A Festival and the hospitality of Day Summerall and all these wonderful people here. But we do still have a presence on the corner. You know, we call it Freedom Corner, and Freedom Corner has had a presence on it every night, whether we're there or whether we're not there. This is the first time Nicole and I have both been gone at the same time, so it's a little, it's a little unnerving sometimes, but we have very capable people taking care of things for us. So, yeah, we are proud of the fact that we have had presence on rain, snow, sleet, shine. Bugs. I learned about no-see-ums while I was in D.C., these little bugs called no-see-ums. I thought for sure somebody was pulling my leg, because, you know, but they're a real thing. But, you know, we are out there every night, and the men in the jail sing the national anthem every night at 9 o'clock, and we're there to sing it with them and to live stream it. And you can follow along on 4ashly.com, the number 4ashly.com.
Okay, that's good to know. 4ashly.com. And yes, at 9 o'clock, we've done it every night here.
Yes,
we have. Stood and said the national anthem with the prisoners.
Yeah.
Sung the national anthem.
That's okay.
Whatever you do with the national anthem. Ashley, sorry.
That's all right.
Mickey, what is there anything in particular you would ask people to do?
I would ask people to look inside themselves and see what direction this country is going in, and turn off CNN and make decisions for yourself and go vote. You know, we cannot not participate in the process because we question the process. And I think that voting is still very important. I think that if Donald Trump doesn't get in, I think there's going to be a high price to pay for that. And we've seen that in the last 3.5 years. As some little girl on Twitter said, you know, if President Trump was going to do all the awful things people say he was going to do, he would have already done them. And if Kamala Harris was going to do all the wonderful things she said she was going to do, she would have already done them.
Wow.
So that was pretty, it was a very, you know, a profound statement, and so true and so simple and so factual that, you know, you just have to go, yeah. So I would ask people to keep that in mind when they're voting. And, also, keep the Jan 6ers in mind, because these are your countrymen. We're not talking about, you know, most of these men have had lots of them are in their 60s, had no prior history, no prior criminal history at all. And judges are throwing the books at them. And, you know, this is Main Street America. You know, Main Street America is in jail. And there are some good people in there that don't deserve to be in there. Some of them are in there for praying. You know, Ashley's life was ended. Many people's lives were altered that day, and we still continue to feel the effects. And these men are not just prison numbers, and they need the support. The worst thing is they went to go stand up for our rights as American citizens, and this country has just forsaken them.
Absolutely.
Our government has forsaken them. So you can also, there are links on 4ashly.com, but Patriot Mail Project is a really good resource. If you are inclined to support a Jan 6er in any way, you can find their location and how to write them, how to donate to their commissary, how to donate to their families. how to just send them a card or a letter. Well, not cards, because a lot of these BOPs don't accept cards. But, you know, just drop them a line and let them know they have not been forsaken. They have not been forgotten. And we continue to fight for them every single day.
One nice thing, Mickey. Interesting. I was in Cambodia a number of years ago, and you'll recall the killing fields in Cambodia after the Vietnam War was, after we removed ourselves from Vietnam, the communists went into Cambodia, and it was the Khmer Rouge, the red Cambodians. The people thought they were their friends. They marched into the capital as friends, and they thought it was like deliverance because they'd really suffered from the effects of the war for so many years. But right away, the Khmers began to arrest and brutally murder their neighbors because they suspected that they didn't support the regime.
Right.
It could be the slightest thing, and there was no trial, there was nothing. Cambodia's not that big of a country. So they killed so many of them that they stacked their skulls into this huge tower. And you can see it now, it's called the Killing Fields, and when I was there, you could actually see the material from their clothing in the ground still, because
right.
they just slaughtered masses amounts of their own people. But here's the thing I want to get to. When I was there, no one, I was there probably in the 90s, no one had been held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
No one. So the Cambodians told me that I interviewed that they could live next door to a Khmer Rouge officer who had killed their family. And it was... The country was, as they described it, sort of in a depression or a confused, depressed state. And the thing that I learned from that is that justice brings mental health.
Mm.
In our own lives, personally, if there's no justice, it makes us crazy.
It does.
And a country can't be healthy unless there's been justice. That's why the Nuremberg trials. That's why, you know, through the ages, this is part of Western civilization, part of Christianity, this understanding of the need of justice. And because God has placed it in our hearts, because he's the God of justice, there has to be justice. And even if you disregard the J6ers, which I don't think any of you listening to me do because you've heard so much through the years, but your friends do, your people, your congressmen do,
yeah.
There has to be justice. You can't just say, oh, well, that happened, you know, that's over. And
right, and this has to remain the United States of America. You know, political dissonance is not a crime. It is our right as American citizens to disagree with our government. And, if you broke a window, then go be charged with breaking a window, but you don't get the extra charges because you don't agree with the regime in charge.
Well, that was our discussion with Mickey Wutoff, Ashley Babbitt's mother, at the 1A Film Fest in Texas. It was amazing. It was just amazing. I hope that you enjoyed that and you learned things that you hadn't heard before. I actually want to tell you some more things that we've learned in just a second. We need to take a break. But when we come back, I want to kind of tackle what happened with Michael Byrd. And I want to tell you some other pieces of that shooting puzzle that you probably will find interesting. So stay tuned right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
So some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
The family of Ashley Babbitt is suing the U.S. government in a $30 million wrongful death lawsuit, and now they have a court date. A federal judge set a trial date of July 20th, 2026. Babbitt was fatally shot during the January 6th Capitol riot. The lawsuit presents a version of events that differs significantly from the official account, setting the stage for a complex legal battle. Babbitt's family is challenging Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd's use of lethal force and his actions during the January 6th incident. The lawsuit alleges that Babbitt was unarmed with her hands up when shot, and that Lieutenant Byrd failed to identify himself or issue warnings before firing. During a hearing Friday, the judge announced the 2025 trial date was too soon after lawyers for Babbitt's family argued they needed more time. The judge is also considering a request to move the trial to Southern California, where Babbitt's family lives. Conservative watchdog Judicial Watch has emerged as a key supporter of the Babbitt family's legal efforts, challenging the government's narrative of the January 6 events. The organization recently released video footage of Babbitt's shooting, potentially corroborating claims made in the lawsuit. The FBI's sweeping investigation in the January 6th Capitol riot has led to approximately 2,000 arrests. The U.S. Capitol Police's internal investigation concluded that Lieutenant Byrd's actions were lawful and potentially life-saving.
All right, that was Straight Arrow News telling us the story, at least now, of the lawsuit being brought by Judicial Watch, and I want to talk about that in just a second. In fact, I'll read this to you just to supplement what we just heard, because it's very different, trust me, from the official narrative. And once I've shared this with you, I want to tell you what I've seen in the video and what I've heard myself. It actually happened from different angles and different microphones. It's just amazing. So, by the way, Ashley was 35 again. She owned and operated a successful pool business with her husband, Aaron. She traveled by herself to Washington, D.C. on that day. There was a Women for America First rally. That's why she went there. You know, she served in the military for 12 years. As her mother said, I don't know if she said the number of years in the Air Force. She was in Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait, Qatar. You know, she, I don't know. I'm sure Ashley wasn't a perfect person, but she was certainly a patriot. So the Judicial Watch complaint recounts, this is what they say in this complaint. The shooting occurred at the east entrance to the speaker's lobby. After demonstrators filled the hallway outside the lobby, two individuals in the crowded, tightly packed hallway struck and dislodged the glass panels in the lobby doors and the right door side light. Lieutenant Byrd, who is a United States Capitol Police officer, commander as a matter of fact, and was the incident commander for the house on January the 6th, 2021, shot Ashley on sight as she raised herself up into the opening of the right door side light. Lieutenant Byrd later confessed that he shot Ashley before seeing her hands or assessing her attentions or even identifying her as female. Ashley was unarmed. Her hands were up in the air, empty, and in plain view of Lieutenant Byrd and other officers in the lobby. The lawsuit points out that based on prior incidents involving Lieutenant Byrd, the Capitol Police, Capitol Police Board, and ultimately Congress, as Lieutenant Byrd's employer, knew or should have known that Lieutenant Byrd was prone to behave in a dangerous or otherwise incompetent manner. What they're referring to is one story about him using his gun. He got mad at someone who, in traffic, someone who it was over parking or the way they were driving, and he actually shot his gun at the car. This is the kind of irresponsible behavior that they knew and kept him on at the Capitol, in the Capitol Police. That's not what you're going to hear. In fact, he did an interview with 60 Minutes. You probably remember this. Some of you might. And he cried. And, you know, the whole story about what happened there was so, so very twisted. Let's actually listen to this. This is clip one.
Were you afraid that day?
I was very afraid.
Are you afraid now?
I am. I am afraid because I know there's people that disagree with my actions on January the 6th. But I hope they understand I did my job. And there was imminent threats and danger to the members of Congress.
In the chaotic minutes before Lieutenant Michael Byrd shot and killed rioter Ashley Babbitt, cascade of alarming messages crackled through his police radio.
He yells for help and, you know, officer down and screaming as they're being assaulted.
This video from inside the House chamber captures Byrd instructing members of Congress to don gas masks.
We had a disbursement of tear gas in the rotunda.
Then, instructions to prepare for the worst.
I'd ask them to remove their pens, to remove their jackets, you know, to look like staff as much as possible, and to seek shelter by staying down below their chairs.
Soon, a horde of demonstrators stormed up the stairs to the House chamber.
There's a gun!
Hey, he's got a gun! He's got a gun!
Byrd is seen taking a defensive posture with his gun drawn.
I didn't even realize I had been yelling and screaming as loud as I was, please stop, get back, stop.
We see your arm out there for a considerable amount of time.
Yes.
Were you wavering?
I was, again, taking a tactical stance. You're ultimately hoping that your commands will be complied with, and unfortunately, they were not.
Okay, so that's just not true. And he later admitted, now that we have more information about this, that he did not warn her at all. He didn't yell anything. No one around him heard him. And he then finally admitted that he lied about that. So we have to kind of unpack this. We'll do this just briefly. First of all, I need to talk about that 60 Minutes, just a few things. You notice they called Ashley rioter, Ashley Babbitt. Well, there's video of her. I remember seeing this early on. She's walking to the Capitol with a group of Trump supporters. She's looking very pretty, effervescent. You heard me talk about that with Mickey. And she's just talking about what a great day it is and what a privilege it is. She didn't really act like a rioter. Didn't seem to be a rioter. And I would also like to point out that there were no guns. No so-called insurrectionist or Trump supporter or person who went to that Capitol on that day had a gun. Some insurrection, right? Some insurrection. Coming to the Capitol without weapons or guns. Now, they say they had weapons. Sometimes when they saw police beating Roseanne Boylan, that's where a lot of this happened. And she really was beaten. You see it. She's struck like 16 times. And she's just down. It's just amazing. And so people around her got mad, and that's when they started fighting the police. Now, that's not the only place. But they used flagpoles. They used things like that. They didn't come with weapons. So Ashley was shot by the only weapon used that day by a Capitol policeman in this so-called insurrection. And about those, this is what happened when you see the actual time footage. There were, for whatever reason, three or four policemen standing guarding the doors to the speaker's lobby. And the hallway got really, it's not even all that jammed, but it's filled. They, for some reason, you see it in the video. They just sort of like draw their weapons or whatever they're holding. They drop their arms and they walk off. They walk off to the side and leave those doors unguarded. And immediately two people come in like we've seen. And I said this with Mickey, like they were Antifa, like these tools that they were using to destroy these windows. And one of them was this Zachary Allen, who we don't know. I mean, I don't know really who he was. Ashley, then, you can hear her saying, stop it, stop it. And she actually, when she can't get them to stop it, she goes over and punches Zachary. You see it on the video. She punches him. Now, why she climbed up that wall, we don't know. I mean, she climbed up the window. What she was trying to do, we have no idea. But we do see Lieutenant Michael Byrd's arm come through, and we see him just shoot her. Again, he did not warn her. She was not armed. And as is described in that law, that suit, that Judicial Watch is filing, her arms were up. She was climbing. So these two guys who were breaking the window didn't get shot. And I would also tell you this: the other strange thing about this incident was that John Earl Sullivan was right there filming the whole thing. John Earl Sullivan. Now, who's that? He is a member of Antifa. He filmed the whole thing. How did he know to film there? How did he happen to be there right at that moment? I don't know, but I'm just telling you, this stinks to high heaven. And of course, now Mickey is facing the loss of her daughter, and it's very sad. We need to pray for Mickey. I'm really impressed with her strength, and she's really learned a thing or two from her daughter, hasn't she, about what it means to be an American. And now she's like, you see where Ashley got her grit, even though Mickey maybe didn't really realize how much grit she had until these years of her life. So God is just working in the midst of this, as he always does. And I'm grateful to Judicial Watch for taking this thing up the tree and really going after the federal government for deciding that Michael Byrd was not culpable. Even if Bruce were here with me, he'd tell you that shooting was the use of lawful force. You don't, even as an FBI agent, there are all these restraints and rules. You don't just shoot people. And that's what Michael Byrd did. Well, I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Mickey Wootoff. And I want to recommend again that you go to 1afilmfest.com and sign up to see those movies. It's $25 for 12 movies. And even if you just watch one, it's really worth it. And certainly the one where you can just see if I'm right. If you're a skeptic on this, see that scene where Ashley's at the door. That's part of one of those movies. And of course, there's one on the trafficking situation, which is much more graphic than anything I've seen so far. There's one on Professor David Clements on the 2020 election, just spelling out exactly what happened with the machines. It's fascinating stuff. So you can find them at 1afilmfest.com. Well, I want to thank our sponsors, especially Timothy Plan Right Now, where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for just sharing this time that I had with Mickey with me on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.